In 2014, thousands of employees of local grocery store chain Market Basket walked off the job, rallying outside of the store's headquarters in Tewksbury in support of their fired CEO, Arthur T. Demoulas. The 40-day strike was remarkable. It was an act of collective action that made a difference. And that history inspired local writer Eric Giroux's first novel, Ring on Deli. Giroux, who's also an attorney with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, joins us now on the line. Eric, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So you worked at the Bill Rickham Market Basket as a young person bagging groceries. Now, by the time Market Basket, the strikes happened, you were an onlooker. What struck you about 2014 and that moment of those strikes?
Well, I was impressed by the scale of them initially. I was inspired by the loyalty that these employees had for their company. And that company had done some really special things for them, which I only found out about later. So let me just focus on the moment of the protests. I just watched them from afar as a former sacker at Market Basket who liked working there as a teenager in a town, Billerica, where I grew up, that had three Market Baskets, where it was an important part of the economy and the culture. But what really impressed me about the protest was that they won. The pessimist in me is watching this and rooting for them. I drove up there with my wife to sign a petition to join in one of the rallies in Tewksbury and to walk through the store and see what it looked like, kind of haunted and empty or nearly empty. And I was just really impressed that they managed to exercise the leverage of collective action to basically force the restoration of their beloved CEO, but also a business model that was pretty atypical for America.
So I want to hear a little sound from then. Eric, this is PBS NewsHour. This is a piece on the strike in 2014. And the sound is from the Tewksbury parking lot.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us today as a new day, even though we find ourselves in the same situation as yesterday, without our true leader, Arthur Demoulas.
What was started as an employee action is going to be finished as a customer action.
IDT has said a million times to me, we're in the grocery business second, the people business first.
You know, it just so many different kinds of stories, right? There's the intersection of so many things going on there, corporate social responsibility and employees fighting for a way of work and people who believe in their local business and their local community, but also the changing nature of how we buy food and how grocery stores. And then all of a sudden, you've got a novel out of it. How did you know that you wanted to tell all these kinds of stories and in this way?
Yeah. Sure. Well, I started writing a novel a long time ago about a grocery worker named Ray in a grocery store called Bounty Bag, which way back in that early draft was already kind of inspired by the Market Basket name. And I wanted to get down some of my experiences working in a supermarket and working in a deli. And I envisioned it as basically a humorous novel with not, I wasn't sure what else it would be about. But then when these protests happened, they reminded me, you know, I'm a Massachusetts guy. They reminded me of the American Revolution. You know, what happens to people when you try to take away from them self-government, their ability to control their own destiny? And I wanted to touch on, you know, a couple of things that were special about it, are special about Market Basket that I learned about from a book called We Are Market Basket, a nonfiction book by Daniel Korshan and Grant Welker. And they talked in there about how, the corporate leadership has these values, the core values of solidarity and loyalty that's reciprocated. But more interesting to me, they have a decentralized business model. They really let local stores and local employees try out new ideas. And if they work locally, they scale them up and across the chain. They also have a generous profit sharing plan to give out, bonuses to these supermarket workers and to help them out in emergencies. But that idea that you could, you know, have a role in shaping the business place where you work and that you were treated with respect, the customers were treated with respect. It was about the whole community, not just the shareholders. That really appealed to me. And I thought, I could have some fun tying it to bigger themes of democracy or American history.
Yeah, let's have you read. So now we've got Ray, right, who's still the protagonist in this book, who is in the middle of, sort of unexpectedly in the middle of a revolution. Let's have you read just a little bit. It's from early in the novel, and you're describing Ray's pride to be essentially the, I think he's the manager at this point at Bounty Bag's deli counter, but also his feelings about some of his coworkers. Can you just read that for us?
Sure. He's the assistant manager. He has a green jacket, but has a stripe on it for his, he doesn't have the stripe yet. So here we go. In Ray's opinion, Bounty Bag was the world's best supermarket, and store number 28, the chain's crown jewel, its godforsaken Penacook location notwithstanding. But on a sour day, as this was shaping up to be, Delhi was like some Penacook lesion on Bounty Bag's flank, welling and oozing with weak links and health reg outlaws like the Alfredo and Toothless Mary. Delhi had a chronic retention problem, too, and they were currently hiring for at least a couple of slots. Ray now wondered if he was no better than the Alfredo and Toothless Mary. Did he, too, have some defect that only others could see? Was he, like them, more Penacook than Bounty Bag?
So this is really interesting to me because Penacook is the town where this Bounty Bag happens to be. And the first half of the book is very hard on all these different Penacook characters. They're kind of Carl Hiaasen style characters. And then, you know, as you go forward, these grocery store employees become heroes of a story that's much larger than themselves. And that is so interesting in this moment where frontline workers like grocery store employees have experienced such an arc from being in danger early in the pandemic to being celebrated in the next phase of the pandemic to being ignored and still underpaid where we are now in the pandemic. How do you think your story about these characters who are sort of pathetic heroes play out against the backdrop of the moment we're in?
Well, I mean, we've done a lot of the last few decades to weaken the position of people who work in grocery stores and people who work in other low wage but essential enterprises. So the things that people, don't respect are, you know, let's take a closer look and see what these people are really about. That's what I say. And when the COVID-19 hit, we, for a brief moment, appreciated this valiant and sometimes fatal willingness of grocery workers to go in and do this job. And we may be back in that position very soon where grocery stores are the only, you know, symbol of abundance and plenty and predictability that we have. So I hope that we continue to value not just grocery workers, but, you know, everybody who's out there going to work day after day, collecting a paycheck, usually for doing work that has real social value, really helps other people.
Eric, I ask you this not as a gotcha question. Are you going to the grocery store these days? Is that how you're getting your food? Are you going into grocery stores?
Yes.
And how does that feel now with this book under your belt?
Oh, I think about it too much. Every time I'm in a grocery store, I'm thinking about the different techniques and tricks that they're using to promote products. And, you know, Market Basket has has respect for the customer in that way as well. They don't engage in so many tricks. Actually, Bounty Bag, the fictitious supermarket in my novel, has a lot more tricks up its sleeve when it comes to customers. But I love the supermarket. It's always a place, a bright place, a place of abundance. And I'm always, you know, trying to show the proper respect for everyone who works there, because I know they're taking a big risk just from going to work right now.
And just a couple of sentences, Eric, that was your first novel, Ring on Delhi, rooted in your own experience. What's next?
I'm not sure, but I have a placeholder answer. Anytime someone asks me that, I say I'm writing a novel that'll be called Mark Twain in Hawaii, because that sounds like a hit novel to me, but I don't know if it'll be about Mark Twain in Hawaii. We'll see.
Could be some fun field research, though.
That's right.
That is Eric Giroux. He's an attorney and a writer, and Ring on Delhi is his first novel. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.